Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
So this morning we had a life rally. We announced that last week, and we met before and had a light breakfast, but we had Paul Spam and Superior Court Judge Hockenberry came in, which I've known Judge Hockenberry for years. And he called me six, 8 weeks ago and said, we've got to move in North Carolina. Turns out North Carolina has more abortions now than when the law was passed in 2023. And that is sickening and sad. And so he came, and man, I'll tell you what, I was moved. I was convicted. We'll be hearing more about that. I'll be preaching some of this stuff. But he came in and it just challenged us. Paul Spam had spent 16 years as a North Carolina legislator. He's a lawyer, of course, Judge is a lawyer. They go back. They've been part of this group of lawyers and North Carolina representatives who are leading for life. And so it was just, again, we need to stand in the gap. We need to be advocates and not ashamed of the gospel. And I don't care if you've had an abortion. We know God heals all things, forgives all sin, right? So don't sit in that piece, but also be a voice that stands up for life and truth. So as we shift gears, kind of pull out your handout. Last week, I know this is like, wow, Pastor, this is, my wife always said, we're going to college? Well, I can't help it. I want us to get truth, and we need scripture. I read already that the word of God's like a hammer, and that word sets us free. And so if you're tormented and broken, there is a way out. But you got to surrender. It's a choice. So last week we looked at the piece From Orphans to Heirs. And in summary of that, we're going to look at, and it's kind of a strange title. My wife said, that's a weird title, right? Wimps to Warriors. But I think what I'm trying to get us to see is once you recognize that you're an heir of the Most High God, something has to happen to you on the inside of the revelation of your true identity. And so when we look at last week, part one, that identity, we looked at it from a biblical worldview. And I gave scriptures, and it's listed there in the first part of the outline, page one. When you are physically born, you are born as a spiritual orphan. All have fallen short of the glory, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory. And the wages of sin is death. And I shared in scripture, both in Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 1, you're actually dead. Most people are like, that sounds weird. No, you are spiritually dead. In fact, Jesus challenges the Pharisees in John 8. He says, you're just like your father, the devil. Then in Colossians 1, verse 13, it says, you've been translated when you're born again from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And you're a new creature, right? Paul tells us your DNA has changed. You got a different family, right? And so we need to understand that, because Jesus told us in John chapter 3, remember when Nicodemus comes at night, because it probably was not wise for him as a lead Pharisee to be seen with the rabbi who they're plotting to kill. So he comes to him at night, and in that exchange in John 3:3, Jesus tells him about, unless you're born again, you can't see and you can't enter. So being a born-again believer, those who walk the walk, not though, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. The devil does too. What's your testimony? And John, we know from Revelation 12, verse 17, that it says, the devil has declared war against the remnant of the seed of the woman. If you're a remnant believer, but it's all those who maintain their testimony in Jesus. It's not the mouth say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But when the going gets tough, where are they? Where's the voice? Where are they standing? What's your lifestyle? Show me your finances. Show me your words. Show me what you're watching. Let's see that, because you can spend a few hours with someone and realize, eh. Now, none of us are perfect. This is not this condemnation piece, but we have to have the fear of the Lord. There's too much grace, 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 and it is grace. It's all about grace. But we've got to stand in that place and be a testimony, especially now. And so when he tells us you can't enter unless you're born again, that thing it says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were under the authority of the spirit of darkness until, but the blood. I love the songs that Daniel and the team put together. You see, what you see as your identity affects what you do, how you perceive life, how you enjoy life, how you respond to trials and tribulations in life, how you see yourself, the true identity, not the head knowledge stuff. It's the stuff that's right here. What do you really believe about who you are in Christ? And all of us are broken. This is that amazing thing. When he says he'll be a father to the fatherless, right, in Psalm 68, and he places lonely ones in the family of God. Why? Because you're all broken. We're all broken because you're raised by broken people who do their best usually. But the testimony of these women that you hear and those that are coming through sometimes through, who don't know their family, don't know, or the family's really messed up, and that has been given as a false identity, rooted in the fear of man, fear of failure, insecurity, rejection, all the bullying, all the stuff that happens to us as children, or those things that happen even in life, betrayals, the lies, the deceiving spirit. Why? Because Satan's job description in John 10:10, he came to kill you, to destroy you, to rob from you. Why should we be surprised? That's why when Peter says, why are you surprised by the fiery trials? Like, no, I'm a born-again believer. Everything's supposed to be rosy and beautiful, and I'm supposed to be blessed beyond measure. You are, right? The kingdom is now and not yet, but the tracks run together. Blessing and trial, fight and war, and you're in a war zone whether you like it or not. So the sooner we recognize we're at war and there is an enemy that wants to kill you and your family, and the sooner you get the revelation of the truth as a warrior and you stand and put the bloodline down and say, not on my watch. Not in North Carolina. You're not killing babies in North Carolina. You're not going to bring the torment of wokeism into our schools. No. We need to rise up. This idea of separation of church and state is a fallacy lie. It's demonic. And so we have to rise up. Life in the kingdom requires us to do spiritual things. And so I'm inviting you to stand up. So when you look at this true identity, our identity and authority are inseparable. True identity in Christ, knowing who you are, is inseparable from your authority. And if you don't have those two things sorted out, you will miss out on what you're called to do, right? Well, how do you get it? We're washed by the Word. Get the Word. Let this Word wash over us, right? So identity is imparted. You receive it. The moment you say yes to Christ, you receive. You're born again. But you're not sanctified totally. Your mind, your will, and your emotion, it has to be transformed by the washing of the Word. That's why he says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't conform to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. Yeah. That's the hard part. Amen. This old flesh man, he wants to go do all kinds of crazy stuff. And that's why Paul in Galatians 5 says, if you walk in the flesh, it'll produce every bit of destructive thing. Go look at it. But if you walk in the Spirit, you'll produce fruit. That love and joy and peace. And that's the daily battle. That's why it says, take up your cross daily and follow me. You got to kill this old guy every day. That's why the last part of that chapter 5 of Galatians, it says, take and nail your passions to the cross. Your passions are not all good. Right? And so when we look at this thing about how we're imparted by identity by believing Christ, but warriors are trained. I used this example last week. When you go to boot camp or you go to learn, go to college, you're learning skill sets, right? Hebrews 5:14 says, the mature believer has trained themselves to discern good and evil. Amen. Warriors are trained. What does it take to make a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger, right? There is every skill set, whether it's learning how to drive, go on a computer, learning how to use a crazy cell phone, there are skills that has to be learned. And so why do we think that there's this training? Why? That's why Psalm 144:1 says, the Lord will train your hands for war and your fingers for the battle. And then he tells you, put on the full armor of God, right? Ephesians chapter 6, you got to dress up for war. Why did he tell you to dress up for war? Because you're in it. And they never wanted you to turn your back. There is no armor on the back. You were supposed to face off against the devil. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, watch out. The devil seeks whom he may devour. He's after you and your kids and your grandkids. He's after your finances. He's after your health. He's trying to set up traps for you. Take a firm stand against him. Why? Because you have authority. And once you understand your authority, you will stand and you'll say, you aren't touching my kids or my grand. You're not having my church. You're not having my city. Who do you think you are? Don't you know I have authority in Christ over you? But we don't believe it, or we don't see. We see ourselves through the reflection of rejection and insecurity, fear of failure, fear of not being smart enough, fear of not having enough scripture. Those are all lies. You got the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's why I love it. When you're in the bathroom and the demon lady jumps over the, tries to beat you up, you got five people trying to hold her down, and there's all this goofiness going on. The name of Jesus, I rebuke you in the name of, and then the next day she's dancing in freedom, sleeping like she's never slept before. What is that? That is the power of the kingdom, because Jesus said in John 8, I came to set the captives free. And so we have to get a hold of, we as a church, this the game time has to stop. Do you realize what's going on out there right now? This thing is drawn to a close. I really believe it. I know everybody back in there, well, he's coming real soon. Man, you cannot look at the wars and what's going on in Israel without understanding all the stuff, the earthquakes, the volcano, every place, the signs in the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon. It's here, right? The demons that are running all over the place. Look what happened in France last week. They got a 30-foot robotic demon going through Paris, and they're all worshiping it. It is absolutely bizarre what is happening right now. And we're in it, and it's accelerating. So it's time for the warriors to stand up and say, what's my part? What's my role? All right. Once you realize you got a big, big daddy and a big, big family, and he's really rich, and he owns all the armies of heaven, and he backs you up, once you recognize that, like, you need to know my daddy. And I have a really great trust fund that he's keeping for me in the glory realm, right? And so, all right, look at the Wimps to Warrior page, page 2. Most churches, I've been in a lot of churches, I've been in a lot of places in the world, and most will not address this issue. There's an uncomfortableness. Pastor, why do you want to talk about demons manifesting? And aren't we supposed to, like, just, you know, I get it. I'm not trying to be critical, but I believe biblically we've missed it, that there's more to this. And I'm not, what I believed 28 years ago and what I believe now is deeper. That's why he said, when he goes away, it is good and an advantage to you, right? John 16, the Father will send the Holy Spirit who will lead you and guide you in all truth. You can't bear the truth now. So what you understood when you were in the world and you just started and got born again, it's like, I was in the doctor's office this week, and there was a lady there, I won't use her name, but she's a believer, but she's brand new. I said, so have you been baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost? She goes, yeah, well, I'm Catholic, and I was sprinkled as a baby. So I said, okay, can I talk now during my test? Yes. So she stuck with me for 30 minutes. I said, are you ready for a sermon? And so it was beautiful, just the revelation of that. You know, she's attending a local church here, but she's a brand new believer. But she doesn't have the revelation of truth. She was like, no, I'm good, I've been baptized. I said, sprinkled as a baby, I know you're a believer, but there's more. There's always more. And so that revelation of the more. Most believers, look at number 1 on your second page there. Most new believers do not understand spiritual warfare. They don't even like the discussion, that was me, of demons and Satan's plan to destroy them. Revelation 12:17. Many believers walk in fear because they don't understand the kingdom authority they carry. Satan knows what authority the believers have been given, and he hopes that you don't. That's how he exploits you. That's what he did in the garden. He's a deceiver. When you speak in the name of Jesus, hell trembles. When you're born into the kingdom of God, you're not placed in a position of spiritual survival. You're placed in a position of spiritual authority. as an overcoming warrior. You are expected to destroy the works of darkness. You are actually commissioned to. When I took when I raised my hand as an ensign in the Navy to defend the nation against all perils and domestic and foreign terrorists, there was a commissioning, and then they pinned bars on me. Then I went to power school. When you get your dolphins as a qualified warrior, there's an expectation that you stand. As a believer, when you received Christ, you were commissioned, right? That's Matthew 28, Mark 16. And he says, go into all the world, make disciples of all men, teach them to obey what I've told you. Then he says, these are the signs, Mark 16. These are the signs of those believers. First thing, cast out demons. Handle deadly things without harm. Some translations say, handle snakes without harm. Like, for somebody who takes snakes and bitten how many times?
130.
Yeah. And when he was bitten by a Vietnamese viper, would have killed a normal man because of the immunity that he had, right? When he captures snakes and he gets all the stuff and then gets the, what do you call it?
Venom
out to make people that get bit, he saves lives. So what's the point? What he's saying there is, I don't believe we're supposed to go get, like some of the folks in the backwoods, get the snake and, you know. No, what he's talking about is a spiritual situation. You can handle, snakes represent witchcraft. That's why the devil was in the garden and he's represented as the snake. And so you can handle demonic spirits without harm. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's all Mark 16. So part of the demonstration of you as a believer, there needs to be a wake behind you as you're moving through this ocean of life. Where are the demons that you've cast out? Where are the people you've laid hands on? Where's the demonic spirits that you've crushed? One day you'll stand before God and he'll say, I gave you talents. What did you do with the talents that I gave you? Did you invest them in the kingdom and advance the kingdom and bring people? Or did you sit on the pew and sat there and say, I don't want to mess with the devil. If I don't mess with him, he won't mess with me. Oh, yes, he will. And so, now I get it. Higher levels, higher devils. That, you know, I hate that statement, but it's true. The longer, when you step out, there is something about when you come over the target, you get flack. The devil doesn't guard targets that are not valuable. And when you proceed to go against his kingdom of darkness, whether that's at school boards or in places downtown, when you come against them, you're going to raise up a whole bunch of things like, whoa, what did that come from? Death threats and accusations and slander and gossip. They hated Jesus and they will hate you too. Didn't he say that? And so, all right. So when we look at this, this is where God placed you in this place of commissioning. 1 John 3:8, let's unpack this. Am I required to do this? 1 John 3:8 says, Jesus came, John writes this, 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Then what did he say in John 14? Verse 12, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. So how many works did Jesus do? So when you look at it, it's like, okay, so there is an expectation, right? He says in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and life. But then he says, now, I've given you authority. I've been given all power and authority. Now you go. Number two, kingdom authority to overcome darkness. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. Let's turn to Luke 10. I want to go there. Luke chapter 10, this is a scripture we use frequently, and I have tested this in the places where hell has had some authority, and the warlocks have tried to come to kill us under blood sacrifice. I've seen where the warlock tried to attack my team, and he's limited in what he can do. This scripture is absolutely, give me the context of this one. In Luke 10, remember he's spending years discipling the 12. Now here he gathers 72. In verse 1, look at chapter 10, Luke 10, 1. He chooses 72. So it's like, okay, I'm going to choose you two, you two. He brings 72 together and he sends them out in pairs. And he says, go out there, preach the kingdom. I send you out as lambs among wolves. Heal the sick, verse 8 and 9. Heal the sick, tell them the kingdom of God is near. If anyone accepts my message, it is also accepts your message, accepts me, verse 16. Then the 72, this is what we just did. The seven ladies who went to Spain came back and tell us what you experienced. So the 72, who are not well-trained, right? They're probably following, listen to him and preach, and he says, I need you to go to that village. You go to that village. He sends them out in pairs because let everything be established by two or three witnesses. That's why whenever we do deliverance, there's always two people present. The same gender person is there because you never know what's going to happen, right? And so they go out and they come back from their mission trip. What's the first thing they say? Did you know Jesus? Did you know? I love this. And of course, Jesus actually starts laughing later. He laughs to his dad and says, oh, Father, thank you that they're getting it. The simple are getting it, Lord, right? They come back and said, did you know that the demons obey us when we use your name? The power of the name. You have been delegated the name of the most righteous one who ever lived. He is yours. He's your brother in Christ. He put his blood on you. And when you stand there and you face off against the darkest of dark things and you have the authority, it isn't it probably the worst of us is, well, I got to earn it. I'm not qualified. I like what Mama says. He never does it that way. When he calls you, he qualifies you. The moment you say yes to the Lord, you've been given authority. Now, you may not have the skill set. That's why I love when Lisa's going, all the training we've done, we've talked, but you get skilled, right? As marksmen, right? In the Marine Corps, every Marine is a marksman. I don't care if you're a paper pusher or what. You go to boot camp and you learn to be a marksman. Why? Because you never know when your unit's going to get overrun and I need the typist to get out here and shoot the enemy, right? So there's a skill set associated with it. So there's a purpose behind it. That's why we need to learn what the word says. What did Jesus do? How did he acquire this or teach this? So they come back and what do they say? Look at verse 17. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That's a wild statement. They're doing ground level warfare in a village with imperfect and less trained people, two of them using his name, and they're shocked by the fact, we have power when we use your name. And Jesus says, I know. He's probably intercedes. I saw Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning. Right? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 says, the son of the morning, Lucifer, who created Satan by iniquity was found in you, Lucifer. He was a created being. You can see it in Ezekiel 28 or Luke 14, Isaiah 14. He was a created being, one of the most high-level worshipers. And it says five times in that chapter, I will raise myself up above the pride and arrogance. That's why 2 weeks ago when Marcus was here, he's now in Brazil with Chafin, pray for them right now. They're leading in a major church this morning. So Lord, I pray, when he was here, he says, watch out for pride. One of the things that can happen when you start moving in the spirit and the gifts that are in you start to produce fruit, you can say, man, I'm powerful, man. I'm it. You see what I did? Whew, be careful. I love this from Bill Johnson. Every time he gets an accolade, he gets alone with Jesus. You know, Jesus. You know it's all about you. I love it. Thank you, Lord, that I got to share in that. But you know and I know, right? So this is that place where they come back and says, Satan was falling like lightning. The highest level of darkness was falling by ground level warfare. That's why when we go out and about on the streets, and we lead people to Christ, what do you think's going on out there? We're bringing kingdom into places of darkness. And all of you who went and come back with the testimony is like, oh my gosh, this was so good. Now we might get rejected. How many times did you get rejected, Ron? Yeah, one night he's like, I don't want your prayers. Okay, what is he? Tells you to dust your feet off and move on. But there are those that said, yes. So he says, they come back, I've given you, look at verse, Jesus, quote, look, I've given you authority over all power of the enemy. You can walk among the snakes and scorpions, crush them. No, nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your name is registered in heaven. The fact that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life makes it all possible. And that's what we should celebrate. It's just because it's Christianity 101. I have Jesus. I'm in his book. Therefore, I am his representative. I am his friend. And I will resist devils and darkness. And I will advance the kingdom. That's what he's saying. He's saying, so get up, get out of your self-pity potty stuff and being a victim and recognize you are victorious. You're not perfect and you don't have to be perfect. I had this debate with a pastor recently. He says, I don't know everything. I said, me either. It doesn't change anything. I know somebody who does. All I got to do is James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. I don't know what to do right now. That's a wonderful prayer. Help, Jesus. When we've been in some of you know the story. When we were in Brazil, and we have our destiny model that seems to work almost all the time. And then you run into a person who's a high-level witch who's been a prostitute and she's been blood sacrificed to Satan. And as soon as we start to pray, she's catatonic, laying on, you could put her head on one chair and the other, and she's levitating. And every time our lead person from Brazil who had many years of experience came to me and says, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I can't get the human person about. I can't get her to repent. I can't get her to confess. I can't. I said, Lord, this woman came to the healing tent last night. She wanted to be saved. You wouldn't leave her in this state. I don't know what to do. So I just, Lord, Holy Ghost, help, what do we do? Hand-to-hand combat. I go, Lord, I don't really even know what that means. But I do know that we can use the gift of tongues and fire, and we need to get real close. So it was seven of us. We start just speaking in tongues. Within a few minutes, that thing broke, and the stupid demon told us what was wrong, and that young lady got free, dropped away from her prostitution, renounced witchcraft. And the next day, when she came to the tent, and I didn't even recognize her. It's that same countenance change. She didn't have the jacked up skirt from the prostitution that she was trying to. She was actually prostituting herself outside the conference, and she wasn't getting any business. Praise the Lord. That's really good, right? And then so she wanders into the healing tent because she's eaten food dedicated to Macumba that had damaged her because her organs were cursed as a result of the idolatry of the perversion. And I'll leave it there. And so when hands are laid on her and she manifests and starts vomiting red blood, how would you like that? Randy turned to me and said, Tom, if there was a 911 in Brazil, I would have called it because there's a puddle of red blood coming out of that woman's mouth. And I was like, oh my God, she's got an aneurysm, she's going to die. And the deliverance woman, Clarissa, no, Macumba, shuts down the demonic manifestation. The blood stops. And then she invites the spirit to come in and bless her in salvation. And would you like to be free of this torment? Come to the deliverance tent tomorrow, and we will minister to you. And that's the lady who shows up, and when she got set free. Now you say, Pastor, why would you want to glorify the devil? I'm not. I'm glorifying the name. Once you see it, that's why you can't unsee it. The problem with most churches, our worship is so not deep enough, or people are in such rebellion in their own lives that the service is not spiritual enough to uncover the darkness. That's why when you get enough of the living stones, 1 Peter 2, if you get enough of the living stones that are walking with Christ, not in their own rebellion, because 1 Samuel 15 says the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When you get a number of people sitting in this room that are opening the doors to rebellion, for hatred, to bitterness, unforgiveness, pornography, homosexuality, when they come into the room, it hinders, don't hinder the Holy Spirit. But when you get enough people who are living stones who come together, not perfect, but in pursuit of him, then something happens in the mix That's why when the team goes to Brazil or wherever, to Spain, and they have confessed their sin, they realize, hey, we're going into warfare, let's get ourselves ready. They have worshiped, they have confessed their sin. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. And you're there and you've been commissioned by us, the board of directors here. Go, team. You go to the apostolic leader, Elliot, and his teams. This is my ministry. I invite you. Go. You have the authority of heaven. And then you walk in that and you will see things that you can't unsee, and it will move you. That's why I believe Lisa and I have been working on where are we going next year. I feel pretty strong. We're going to Brazil. I think it's June 1 to 9. We're looking at early June. They're going to have 25,000 people in this area. They were there last year. Marcus and Chafin will be there. I talked to Randy's lead. I probably need at least a team of 16 who are going to be dressed for war, because they're going to have up to 25 or 30,000 people in this conference. And they last year, Bethel had the healing tent, but there was no one there to do deliverance. And so I'm just praying into that. Lord, I don't want to go anywhere. You don't want us to go. But at the same time, if you want us to go and you want us to bring the kingdom there, then we're ready. And so I'm praying into that. That'll be sometime first part of June. And we're also, Lisa's looking at a Mexico trip and maybe another one later in the fall. Why? Because Global River is a going church. The river's flowing. And so, well, we can see the ministry here. Oh, yeah. We've done some deliverances here that were just like we saw in Brazil or Mozambique or Argentina, where all the craziness of what the enemy tries to do is here. You don't have to go far. The devil's there's more religious spirits here, and there's more avenues of, the Western world does not believe what the third world believes about spirits, just put it that way. But they're getting there because it's here. Okay. So you can do kingdom worship here. That's why I encourage you. You all need to get part of the ministry team, get trained up. I love that some of you don't. You need to get trained up to do spiritual warfare. And if you've never been to your own prayer ministry, I don't know why you're not. What are you afraid of? If it's a fear of man that you've got, you need to get over it, because God didn't give you the spirit of fear. He gave you power, love, and a sound mind. Well, I don't want people to know my stuff. You just heard from Lisa. She laid out some, well, why would a pastor do that? Because I remember my pastor was here for 7 years, Michael Thornton. When he got up, we were doing an outreach at a tent. I can't, Magnolia. We were all over the Mount Olive. We brought our tent. He was standing on a flatbed, and he got up there, and he says, I was a homosexual pimp, got thrown out of the Marine Corps, selling drugs. I was broken. I was selling my body as a homosexual to get drugs. And now I'm born again. He's got his doctor's degree in theology. He's married with 5 kids. But he was standing up on the stage giving his raw testimony. And there were people in this audience that just want, and I remember this woman in the very back of the field. And I went back there, and she's bawling her eyes out. I said, ma'am, are you okay? She goes, if he can get free from that, I can get free from that. I said, yes, you can. Come with me. Can we go to the front? You want to hide your stuff. I'm not, it's true. You don't share with everybody. The people, you got to know when you got to seize the moment. But there's a moment when Lisa's true testimony of what she's, to those women who are broken, drug addicted, abused, raped, drug addicts, and you share with the testimony, here's this woman from the United States who's a pastor, and she struggles. Drops all the facade. We all struggle. Every one of us struggles every day. That's why we teach, how do you overcome? Take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10:3. Take every thought captive. Bring it subject to that which is Christ. Kingdom authority. So when we look at Luke 10:19, look at verse 23 there. Jesus gets all happy. He says, thank you, Father, for revealing these things to the simple-minded. Verse 23, this is what I heard from Lisa this morning and from the ladies giving their testimony. Verse 23 says, Luke 10, then when they were alone, so he got the disciples alone, he turned to the disciples and he said to them, blessed are the eyes that see what you've seen. When you see a tumor fall off a person's body, When you see a demonized person set free, when you see the power of God fall, this is more than just a nice story. And it happens in the most, when you're the most tired, the most stretched, planes don't make it, all of your agenda doesn't fit, that's when he tends to show up the most. Because if we can make our plans, but God orders our steps, and he says, yeah, thank you for coming, but I got a different agenda. Mom will tell you what happened with us in Mozambique, or Kent will. We get there and everything changed. And yet, the people that we led to the Lord and the churches we built in Churi and in the bush, those people, some of them have been sacrificed and murdered by Boko Haram. The very people we baptized in the Alligator River, wondering why the heck we were there. And if Mama's scared, thank God she didn't tell me, when Mama's praying, Lord, help us. But now when you look at the fruit of that, here we are years later and we hear those that were baptized, some of them were killed, at least maybe three, we think. They're alive today because somebody risked all the inconvenience, taking mud baths, food, lack of sleep, because somebody went. Romans 16:20 said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That sounds like walk among the snakes and scorpions and crush them. So Romans 16:20. Number three, authority is not a feeling. I don't feel like it. It's a position. It's not something you earn. It's something you receive. It flows from who you are in Christ, not from what you do for him. You fight from victory in Christ that he's already won. That's the commission. So when you're sent with, when we send out our troops, we equip them, right? They have to be equipped. So when you go out, he's equipping you. So let's look at, turn to Colossians chapter 2. I want to go there a minute. In Colossians 2, I love the fact that Jesus embarrassed the devil. He really embarrassed the devil. Let's look at verse 13, Colossians 2:13. You were once dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, and it was not cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of those charges against you and took it away by nailing it to the cross. It was he who disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities, shamed them publicly. Do you realize the devil is toothless and he has no weapons? It's only by deceit and intimidation and lies. He's disarmed. You go with the full armor of God and all the weapons of the warfare and the sword of the Spirit, and as you face off against this devil that makes all the... That's when they come out, I'm going to kill you when I come out. No, you're not. Now, they can intimidate. Part of the pain and agony and all the craziness, it's all intimidation or distraction, so to keep you from getting... Recently, someone stepped foot on here on the property, started manifesting. Ron had to help the person into the hallway down the... Because he was... The darkness in this person was so manifesting, had actually lied to him. You can't go there. You can't go there. Gets to my office and... We had a time. And so, what's the point? It's all a lie and it's all intimidation. It's all distraction. Just keep the main focus. The Lord, you brought this person in front of me, and I don't, there's a whole lot to that story. Anyway, I want us to see that number four there, you're not a victim. You're equipped to fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. First Peter tells us, don't be surprised by the fiery trials there. I've already shared Revelation 12:17, the testimony that is kept by those who stand here at war. Number five, kingdom authority is not a power trip. It's not harsh and it's not arrogant. This is, this whole thing, how can you be a loving warrior? Well, I hate the devil and I'll crush his head, but I have to have compassion for the one who's going through the ministry. That's why when somebody manifests in our church, We don't make a spectacle of that. We would like, let's take them privately. We want to, this is not something that needs to embarrass them. That's why when they share the deepest inner parts of I've had many people, I'm so afraid to tell you this because what if you judge me or what do you tell somebody? We're not allowed to do that. You need to get over the fear of man and your pride. Amen. And unpack this thing. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous shall accomplish much. Confess your sins one to another. James 5. That you might be saved, healed, and delivered. God loves humility. There's nobody holy and righteous without him. Kingdom authority is not a power trip, and it's not arrogant. It's not this delegated power that's rooted in identity. Number 5, intimacy expressed in love. Didn't he say, if you do all these things, 1 Corinthians 13, and you have not love, it counts for nothing. So love has to be at the center of our intimate relationship and our warrior breed. It has to be there. We have to have a compassion for those that are broken. Realizes we're just a little further down the sanctification road. Number 6, kings rule and priests intercede, and you're both. I'll put some scriptures there. You can look at it. Revelation 1:6 says, some translation, you're a king and a priest. 1 Peter 2 says, you're a royal priesthood. So, as a king, you have been given delegated authority, or your king has given you, as a subject of his kingdom, delegated authority to go. He commanded you to go when you're commissioned. But then he says, go as a priest and intercede. Bring them to the altar. What do priests do? They make a way for the broken to come in. Without authority and intimacy, what happens? If you ever been work for people that have all this authority pride on them, it's arrogant, it's prideful, it's not nice. So once we understand our authority, realize it's given, we have to be warm, considerate, because intimacy without authority is timid. If you are intimate with the Lord and you don't know what your authority is, then you're a scaredy cat. And we didn't get a spirit of fear. We got what? Power, love, and a sound mind. And so if God didn't give you that, you know who did? He gave fear. The devil does that. All right, last page. Number 7. Heaven fights with you as angels are sent to assist you. You don't fight flesh and blood. You fight demonic spirits. I like the scripture regularly. Hebrews 1:14 says they are sent to assist those who are redeemed. Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle flesh and blood. Look at Psalm 91. I know this is a favorite psalm that we quote a lot, but when you just sit and meditate on the 16 verses that are here, by the way, it's not Psalm 91:17. It's the number 11 there, but I like all of it. Let's look at 11 and 12. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High. So if you have chosen to live in God's sheltered place, that means you're really close. In the shadow. How close do you have to be to get into somebody's shadow? Pretty close. So you're in the shadow of the Most High. You're really close to him. I love when he says we're seated with him in the heavenly realms, right? Ephesians chapter 2. But he goes on and says, he'll shelter you. His promises are good. Look at verse 3, 91:3. He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every disease. He'll keep you safe. He'll shelter you under his wings. He has faithful promises that are your protection. Don't be afraid of the terrors at night or the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the diseases that stalks in the darkness, nor disasters that strike at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 may die around you, but these evils won't touch you. Open your eyes and see it. If you make the Lord your refuge, you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come on your home. He orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hit your foot on a stone. You will trample on lions and cobras. You ever seen a cobra in strike mode? You ever seen a lion face? If that wasn't a good lion, and you were facing that thing right there, we were on our safari, right, in Tanzania, like, You can hear that thing 2 miles away. You ever see a lion attack its prey? Whew. It says, you, because you're as bold as lions and as peaceful as doves, it says, you will trample on lions and cobras. This is the same thing as is in Luke chapter 10 we just read. What I'm trying to get us to realize is the word of power and the word of truth that washes us. Number 9, you're commissioned in the Lord's army the moment you are sealed in the blood of the covenant. All authority has been given. So here's the altar call this morning. I would really like us to embrace the commission. In Matthew 28, let me just go there. Matthew 28, Jesus, after the resurrection, he commissions those that were there, and he says this. It's titled The Great Commission. Verse 18, 28:16 to Matthew. Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, always, even to the ends of the earth. So let's stand. I'd like us to, first of all, it's if you're a believer, if you're not a believer, I really would invite you to come. I'm not going to invite the ministry team up yet because I'd like us all to participate in this. I pray, my prayer request has been, Lord, give us greater and greater revelation, greater and greater revelation of who we are in Christ. That's why in Paul's apostolic prayer in Ephesians, where he prays this, I want to pray this over us. This is in Ephesians 1. I'm going to begin in verse 17. So just close your eyes and receive it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Lord, I pray now that you would impart to this family, those who are hungry, seeking you, those who are in search of those things, the greater things, the search for significance in everyone's life, to know our purpose, to know how this thing goes forward, how we walk with you during all the trials and tribulations and battles and the wins and the losses, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who they are, that God loves them, your Father loves you. He fashioned this whole mysterious plan that drew Paul to his knees. He falls on his knees. Your Father fashioned the plan that the Son would come and redeem you. And then he commissioned you as a warrior bride to gather up the elements of this warfare and to stand and redeem the time, to draw those. Jesus' half-brother Jude says, snatch those who are falling into the fire. Pull them out. But be careful that you don't fall in there with them. So Lord, I pray right now, I ask that you would commission this regiment, the Global River Regiment, that we would stand and we would take back ground in our schools, all in our businesses, in the stores, and in our streets, and in our neighborhood, Every time you bring one of these warriors and they see with their spiritual eyes of understanding and revelation, that's not God, that must be demonic, and I stand in the power, and we do Matthew 18, I bind that spirit of darkness and I loose the power of righteousness to prevail over marriages, over situations, finances, health. In the name of Jesus, I commission this regiment in the name of the Most High, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We will walk and we will trample snakes and scorpions, and we will live leave a trail of righteousness endured with love and purpose. God, would you do it, Lord? Would you be glorified? Would you receive it all? Not because we're something special, but because we got a hold of what you did. Lord, I pray that love would prevail. The places where love is not easy. Lord, you said to love your enemies. That is so hard, Lord. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who take advantage of you and betray you. We have to be different than the world, and it's so hard at times, but we have the one who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we'd ever ask or even think. Because he lives in you. Transform these living stones, Lord. Let them burn. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for all of those who stand here and pull on this rope. I pray for those that are in the battlefield right now with sickness, infirmity, cancers, infirmities that have held them back, pain, structural things, chemistry, tumors. Lord, I command in the name of Jesus that your name would be glorified and we would give testimony as we have and we've seen. Do it again and do it more. You said in Mark 16, these signs would follow. And then it says you worked with them that went and you validated the message. Would you validate the message again, Lord? And I ask you to save this state. I was so disheartened to hear of what's happening now in North Carolina, because our state is more liberal than other states. They're coming from Tennessee and South Carolina, and they're killing babies and shedding innocent blood in our state. God, I'm so sorry. Lord, we pray, shut down the Planned Parenthood. Lord, convert these doctors. Lord, I heard a statistic today. There was a doctor in Jacksonville who did 65,000 abortions. The blood that runs down our streets and in our sewer systems that is marked by the blood that you said in Psalm that you hate and disgusted over those who shed innocent blood. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, this has to change. Lord, shut it down. And, Lord, I ask you to raise up all the churches and the pastors and the ecclesiastic people of this body of Christ that goes and does righteous things. And we thank you, Lord. I ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can walk this out.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.